السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini from the Weekend Islamic School, and we are talking about the names of Allah, and the name of that we started talking about last time is Al-Adl, which is the absolute just, or and signs of his justice is the balance maker. Signs of his justice, we're learning about signs of his justice, which is the balance maker, or the balance creator, or the balance provider. And these are signs of his justice. Al-Adl, the absolute just. And we finished last time part one, which is balancing the nature, and balancing the laws, balancing using the laws of Islam, and balancing using the laws of nature. And today, we are going to do balance between the spiritual being and the materialistic being. The first thing we want to talk about is that we are made of body and soul. Body and soul. So we're not one thing. We're a combination. We're a combination of two units. The body unit and the soul unit. We're combined together. The only one self-contained unit is Allah. That's it. Nobody else is a self-contained, perfect, indivisible unit that cannot be divided except Allah. We humans can be divided, okay, into body and soul, and our body can be divided into head, arms, etc., etc., okay? And the only unit is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are created from body and soul. Body is the mud. Soul is the coming from the Allah, the spiritual part, which is made by Allah. In Surah Sad, Allah is telling the angels that he has created humans from tin.
When your Lord said to the angels, I am going to create man from clay. So, once I make him perfectly and breath my spirit into him, you must fall down in prostration before him.
So you notice that two parts, clay and breathe into him from spirit. So, two things, two components. Okay? Two components. From clay and from clay and from spirit. Clay, I make it perfectly and breathe in spirit into him. You must fall down in prostration to him.
إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ.
When thy Lord said unto the angels, Lo, I am about to create a mortal out of mire, and when I have fashioned him and breathed into him of my spirit, then fall down before him prostrate.
And you notice that Allah did not order the angel to prostrate until he breathed the spirit. So what made value to this piece of mud is the spirit that Allah has breathed into it. Okay. So we have two things, the body and the soul. The spirit, which is the ruh, it's called the ruh, is the secret of life. That's what makes you alive. That's the difference between the dead and the life. If we bring a living cell and we duplicate the contents and the cell, okay, then it's not going to be alive. It will not be alive, even though it's the same materialistic components are there, but it's not going to be alive. If we weigh a person, if you want to figure out, you know, what's the weight of this soul, we weigh a person dying before and after death, it would be the same weight. So how much is the soul weight? Nothing. Why? It's like radiations. How much is the radiation waves weight? They weigh nothing. You can think of the soul as a being, like a radiation. You can think of it as being this way. And What's the difference between soul and spirit? We use these words exchangingly. We use sometimes spirit, we use sometimes the word soul. Spirit is the secret of life, but the soul is the self. You are, for example, you are 14 years old soul. I am 53 years old soul, and so forth. The soul is the self, is yourself. When your body aches, you don't say I ache, you say my body aches. So you're recognizing here that your body is different than your soul, okay? So the soul itself is the human himself. That's the soul, and it's eternal. It lives eternally either in hell or heaven, okay? So once the soul is created by birth, that's the beginning of the soul coming to life. When Allah created our souls first, they were created dead. Then they become alive at birth, and then they die again at death, and then they become alive on the day of judgment. So two death, two resurrections, two death, two lives. Two death, two lives. Okay. To make it easy to understand, think of the body and the soul is like the car and the driver of the car. The car is the body and the driver is the soul. Now we know that the driver, all what the driver have access to is the stick shift and steering wheels, gas, brakes, mostly. But the engine, the guy, the driver doesn't regulate the engine, make the engine function, and he doesn't even know how the engine works, and he doesn't have to know. Okay, the engine works by the car. Controls the engine based on the choices of the driver, but the driver doesn't know how the engine works at all. Same our body. Same here, our bodies, we don't know how our bodies work, okay? We don't, without education, medical education or something equivalent, you wouldn't know how your body functions. And there are secrets still in our body that we, medical people, doctors still didn't know about yet, okay? So just like and we have only access to few muscles and joints, you know, but we don't have control over our breathing, our digestion of food, all these biological processes, we don't have control over, okay? We just control the muscles, okay? And the one who controls the muscles is the soul. So if your soul wants to walk, the interface between the soul and the body is the brain. So if you yourself, the soul, wants to walk, you order the brain, okay? And you order the brain, and then the brain will make you walk, okay? If it is possible, okay? Because you're limited by the abilities of your body. You cannot ask your body to fly because your body is not going to be flying. Same here. So when death happens, the driver is taken out of the car is taken to the junkyard, and the driver, which is the soul, is taken to the Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can think of it, junkyard here being the grave. So the car goes to the grave, the driver goes to Allah, the body and the soul. Okay. And it's, by the way, we don't, As we mentioned, we have no control over the internal components because it would take us a lot of brain power just to regulate their functions. For example, breathing. We don't have control over breathing. In other words, what I meant is that you cannot stop yourself from breathing and you do not regulate. You don't worry about breathing. In other words, make it simple. You don't worry about breathing. It happens naturally. And you don't have to regulate it. And your brain think, now, here, inhale, exhale. Okay, after 1 second, inhale, exhale. It will take a lot of brain power or like CPU time, if we make an analogy, metaphor with the computer. CPU, it will take you a lot of CPU just to regulate the brain yourself. Okay, but it is, Allah is regulating it for you. You don't have to worry about it. You breathe naturally and you don't have to think about it. Otherwise, you would have very little brain power, CPU time, which is CPU time to do the rest of your functions. Now, there is a strong relationship between sleep, death, and resurrection. The resurrection to the body and the soul. Death is like sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. Surah Az-Zumar.
Allah fully takes away the souls of the people at the time of their death, and of those who do not die in their sleep. Then he withholds those on whom he had decreed death, and sends others back up to an appointed term. Surely, in this, there are signs for a people who ponder.
And the second translation.
Allah receiveth men's souls at the time of their death, and that soul which dieth not yet in its sleep, he keepeth that soul for which he hath ordained death, and dismisseth the rest till an appointed term. Lo, herein verily are portents for people who take thought.
In analogy or similarly, punishment in the grave is like nightmares that feels real. So if you don't pray, for example, you will get a bald snake in the grave that's going to wrap itself around your body and squish you to crush you. Okay, that's not physically happening, but it is happening on the soul, which means that you will feel the same exact pain. Real, it will feel like real pain. You will feel the same exact pain that if you are in this life and you're physically surrounded and there is a snake, going around you, and this snake will crush your bones. The same pain that you feel in the real life, it will feel over there. Your soul is going to feel that pain, okay, in the grave. If you want to torture somebody in this life, you apply the pain to the body and the soul is attached to the body, so it feels the pain if the brain is not numb. If the brain is numb, then there's no connection between the body and the soul anymore, and your body is not going to feel the pain. Your soul is not going to feel the pain in your body. But in the grave, the pain is applied directly to the soul. Directly to the soul. That means the body is out of the equation here. And in hellfire, the pain is directed to both body and soul. May Allah protect us from the hellfire. Okay. So also similarly, sweet dreams feels like real, like reward in the grave. See, it feels like sweet dreams, real. It feels real. Just like if you're having a good, nice, sweet time in this life, the same joy that happens here will feel similar to the joy that happens there. Okay, so things are a matter of perception. What is important is what you feel. It's not what your physical reality. It's about, and in this life also the same thing. What's important is how you feel about things, not the physical reality of things. One thing could be appreciated by you, and not appreciated by others, and so forth. The same exact physical thing. Body and sleep, death and sleep are the same, yes, but in the case of the sleep, there is still be a link that exists between the body and the soul to bring back the soul to the body. In the case of death, this link is cut and the body wouldn't be able to accommodate the soul anymore. Because if the body, not everybody can accommodate a soul. For example, a body that has a dead brain will not allow the soul to come back because it cannot welcome, it cannot accept the soul. A body that's a dead body cannot accept the soul anymore. It will turn away the soul. Okay, so that very last link will be cut off during the time of death. In the day of judgment, Allah combines both the soul and the body again together. So in the day of judgment, we will be resurrected with body and soul. Our bodies are going to grow out of the earth, just like trees grow out, okay? And we grow out of the earth, and we will have our souls there. And Surah At-Takwir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about that.
وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ
When the souls are coupled together. When the souls are coupled together. Okay, which is in the Day of Judgment. Okay, so now back to the body and the soul. The body is made of clay and it is the container. The soul is the contents inside this body. Okay, so the container, which is the body, okay, the soul resides into the component, into the container, which is the body. If we think about the body is like a box, okay, the body is the box, but the gift is the soul, which is inside. If you have a gift, it's wrapped by a box. It's put in a box. This box is the body, but the soul itself is the gift inside the box. So which one is more value, the box of the gift or the gift itself? Okay, so basically we're trying to emphasize here that the soul is way much more important than the body. There was a story of the Jews quizzing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the soul, or about the spirit, actually, the spirit. About the spirit, there were the non-believers, pagans in Mecca. The Arab lords sent a messenger to the Jews, and they told them, "You have a book. You are people of the book, like Muhammad has a book. Can you quiz him, ask him questions, and tell us if he's truly a prophet or not?" So they asked him three questions. The first question was about the sleepers in the cave that slept for 309 years, and then they asked him about the Dhulqarnain, the king that has a crown, and each crown has a horn, and the crown has two horns. One horn represents the east, another horn represents the west. He ruled the east and west, and he was a very righteous king. So they asked him about him, that was the second question. The third question is, what is the spirit? What's the nature of the spirit? Where does it come from? And when they asked him this question, they knew if he answers the question, if he's being philosophical about it, and then he answers the question, then he's not truly a prophet, because nobody knows what the soul is. And the answer for this particular question came from Allah in Surah Al-Isra.
And they ask you about the soul. Say, the soul is something from the command of my Lord, and you are not given from the knowledge but a little.
The answer was, you know very little. You're given very, very tiny little knowledge. Your knowledge does not include knowing or being able to conceive or the nature of the soul or the nature of the spirit. I like to think of the spirit as radiations, like the angels are radiations and jinn as radiations as well. Like to think of it as radiation, and this radiation can go through the brain and controls the brain. Okay. Now, before Adam was, before Allah breathed life into Adam, angels, he did not ask angels to bow down to him. So what made Adam worthy for the angels to bow down to him was the fact that he is the fact that Allah breathed life into him, breathed the spirit into him. The body, the nature of the body belongs to earth. It was created from earth. It feeds from earth and it goes back to earth after death and resurrected from earth. So the body has to do with the earth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Taha, where is that ayah? Yeah, here we go. 55.
منها خلقناكم.
From this dust we created you, and in this we shall put you back, and from this we shall raise you up once again. And
okay. And different translation.
Thereof we created you, and thereunto we return you, and thence we bring you forth a second time.
So we belong to earth, our bodies belong to earth, created from earth, feeds from earth. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now we are going to show that the value of the body is no way compared to the value of the soul. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah doesn't care about your good looks and colors, doesn't care about your body, but he looks at your hearts and your deeds and your spirit. That's what Allah cares about. Your body is a gift from him. So whatever you have is a gift from him. It does not reflect your inner state of the heart. Whether you have a good heart or a bad heart or an evil heart is not, the body hides the heart. So you don't see the heart, you see the body. And the container, which is the body, is taken care of mainly to serve the contents, to provide the housing for the soul, which is the contents, which is the divine part that Allah has breathed into us. Without this, man becomes like an animal. The spirit, this part, which is the soul, and the spirit is what differentiates man from animals, the spirit, the soul. The container of the body is controlled by the contents. Okay? And that's the value of the body versus the soul. Now, if the spiritual part, which is the soul, is bad or evil, he's no longer even worthy of life. And we, as government, may have to kill him to get rid of his crimes and physical existence. So when the man loses his spirituality, he loses everything. Now, so what is, we know that the body feeds from earth, but what is the food for the soul? Okay, the food for the soul, because now we want to keep the equilibrium between the body and the soul, we want to keep the balance. So I know about the body, now I want to know about the soul. What is the food for the soul? The food for the soul is first the love of Allah. The love of Allah, the motivation, the love of Allah as a motive, as a motivation. That's the food for the soul. That's the first one. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his love in Surah Al-Baqarah.
Among the people there are some who set up co-gods beside Allah, whom they love like the love due to Allah. But those who believe are most firm in their love for Allah. Would that the unjust people...
See, the believers are in very much love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yet of mankind are some who take unto themselves objects of worship, which they set as rivals to Allah, loving them with a love like that which is the due of Allah only. Those who believe are stauncher in their love for Allah. Oh, that...
So, the love of Allah is the first kind of food for the soul. And the second and third is the desire to go to Jannah and fear from hellfire. That's a second and third motive or food for the soul. As Allah said in Surah Al-Sajdah.
Their sides remain apart from their beds. They call their Lord with fear and hope and spend in charity out of what we have given to them. So, no one knows the delight of eyes that has been reserved for them in secret as a reward of what they used to do.
This is reward for them in the day of judgment. This is how Allah is going to reward them in the day of judgment. By no soul knows exactly. No soul can imagine. Okay. How, what would be these rewards in the day?
Who forsake their beds to cry unto their Lord in fear and hope and spend of what we have bestowed on them. No soul knoweth what is kept hid for them of joy.
But the key word here is that in fear and hope. In fear and hope. That's the key word here. That fear of hellfire, hope in Jannah, greed to Jannah. And the source of these kinds of food is Quran. How? The love of Allah is inspired by reminding us always that He's a loving God, caring God, attends to our needs, provide to us His blessing and favors. I'll give you an example. If I give you $100 gift, you would love me. If I make them $1,000, you'd love me more. If I make them $100,000, you love me more and more. The more gifts I give you, the more love you will have for me. And so is Allah, is remind us with the gifts that He has given to us so that we love Him. These gifts to us, to Allah, is instantaneous. Okay? It doesn't take Him effort or have to worry about anything to provide for us. Okay? But the fact that He's loving us, He cares about us, He is providing us with our needs, that He's just thinking about us in itself, okay? In itself, makes us feel love to Him. You can just feel love, strong love to Him. He has created this and this and that. He has created, for example, in Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about or Surah An-Nahl in particular, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His blessings, the creation, the animals, everything that He has created.
He created the heavens and the earth in the proper way. He is much higher than their ascribing partners to Him.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. The commandment of Allah will come to pass, so seek not ye to hasten it. Glorify. And wherein is beauty for you, when ye bring them home, and when ye take them out to pasture? He hath created the heavens and the earth with truth. High be He, exalted above all that they associate with Him. He hath created the heavens and the earth with truth. High be He, exalted above all that they associate with Him. He hath created man from a drop of fluid, yet behold, he is an open opponent. And the cattle hath He created, whence ye have warm clothing and uses, and whereof ye eat. And wherein is beauty for you, when ye bring them home, and when ye take them out to pasture? And they bear your loads for you unto a land ye could not reach, save with great trouble to yourselves. Lo, your Lord is full of pity, merciful. And horses and mules and asses hath He created, that ye may ride them, and for ornament. And He created that which ye know not. And Allah's is the direction of the way, and some roads go not straight. And had He willed, He would have led you all aright.
هو الذي أنزل من
He it is who sendeth down water from the sky, whence ye have drink, and whence are trees on which ye send your beasts to pasture. Therewith He causeth crops to grow for you, and the olive, and the date palm, and grapes, and all kinds of fruit. Lo, herein is indeed a portent for people who reflect. And He hath constrained the night and the day, and the sun and the moon to be of service unto you, and the stars are made subservient by His command. Lo, herein indeed are portents for people who have sense. And whatsoever He hath created for you in the earth of diverse hues, lo, therein is indeed a portent for people who take heed. And He it is who hath constrained the sea to be of service, that ye eat fresh meat from thence, and bring forth from thence ornaments which ye wear. And thou seest the ships ploughing it, that ye mankind may seek of His bounty, and that haply ye may give thanks. And He hath cast into the earth firm hills, that it quake not with you, and streams and roads, that ye may find a way. And landmarks too, and by the star they find a way. Is He then who createth as Him who createth not? Will ye not then remember?
Okay, so you can see the rest of the surahs. This surah is famous, very famous surah about the gifts from Allah. The entire surah, Allah's reminding us with gifts, gifts one after another, after another, after another, to inspire the love, His love, into our hearts. Now, the desire to go to Jannah is inspired by verses that talks about Jannah, describes Jannah. For example, look at this description of Jannah. It's awesome. It's really very motivating. This surah is read on Friday as a sunnah, second rak'ah, and it's a good reminder.
And hath awarded them for all that they endured a garden and silk attire. Reclining therein upon couches, they will find there neither heat of a sun nor bitter cold. The shade thereof is close upon them, and the clustered fruits thereof bow down. Goblets of silver are brought round for them, and beakers as of glass, bright as glass but made of silver, which they themselves have measured to the measure of their deeds. There are they watered with a cup whereof the mixture is of zanjabil, the water of a spring therein named salsabil. There wait on them youths of everlasting youth, whom when thou seest, thou wouldst take for scattered pearls. When thou seest, thou wilt see their bliss and high estate. Their raiment will be fine green silk and gold embroidery. Bracelets of silver will they wear. Their Lord will slake their thirst with a pure drink. And it will be said unto them, Lo, this is a reward for you. Your endeavor upon earth hath found acceptance.
See, that's example of describing the Jannah. So that inspires the love for Jannah. And then the verses that speaks about hellfire is an inspiration to the fear of hell. like this description of hell.
Is this better as a welcome or the tree of Zakkum? Lo, we...
The tree of Zakkum is a tree that that's one of the trees of hellfire that is created to torture the bad guys, the criminals in the hell.
We have appointed it a torment for wrongdoers. Lo, it is a tree that springeth in the heart of hell. Its crop is, as it were, the heads of devils. And lo, they verily must eat thereof and fill their bellies therewith. And afterward, lo, thereupon they have a drink of boiling water. And afterward, lo, their return is surely unto hell.
See, this description is to scare us from hell and to develop the fear in our hell, in our hearts for hell. Also, there are verses that compares life and heaven and life in hell for the purpose of inspiring us as well.
A similitude of the garden which those who keep their duty to Allah are promised. Therein are rivers of water unpolluted, and rivers of milk whereof the flavor changeth not, and rivers of wine delicious to the drinkers, and rivers of clear run honey. Therein for them is every kind of fruit with pardon from their Lord. Are those who enjoy all this like those who are immortal in the fire and are given boiling water to drink so that it teareth their bowls?
See, which one is better? Comparison. So that inspires also the love, greed to heaven and fear from hell. And interesting that Allah called the Quran as part of His spirit.
In similar way, we have revealed to you a spirit from our command. You did not know earlier what was the book or what was Iman, true faith, but we have made it, the Quran, a light with which we guide whomsoever we will from among our servants. And indeed you are guiding, people, to a straight path.
So the Quran is a guiding, is a living spirit that feeds the soul. Require balance. Okay, the soul is more important therefore it is fair to give it much more attention than the body. Equity, not equality, equity. You give what they need. And unfortunately, it is the most neglected part. Spirituality is the most neglected part in our lives, especially here in the West. In the modern West, you know, just a typical human growing up gets the best food, the best clothes, the best health insurance, etc., etc. All these things are to protect the container made of clay, which is the body, which will eventually go back to earth when the person dies. All the money invested for what the container made of clay. On the other hand, the spiritual part of the human, it's mostly neglected or fed with confusion and superstitious beliefs. Just imagine a person who eats garbage in every meal. What kind of disease that will have in his body? Same thing. If the soul is fed garbage every day, then what kind of a soul at the end? Solution is the religion of Islam, small I, and the religion of Islam, capital I, provide the solution. The Islam, small I, is the religion of all prophets. It's a verb that means submission to God. It's a general Islam. See, for example, these ayat where Allah speaks about the Islam being the religion of everybody, small I.
Surely, We have revealed to you as we have revealed to Nuh and to the prophets after him, and we have revealed to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishak, Yaqub and their children, and to Isa, Ayub, Yunus, Harun, and Sulaiman, and we have given Zabur to Dawood. We have sent some messengers we have already told you about, and some other messengers we did not tell you about, and Allah has spoken to Musa verbally.
So basically, it is saying that all these prophets receive the same message as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has received. In Surah Al-Anbiya also, a similar meaning was revealed.
We did not send before you any messenger, but we revealed to him that there is no God but I, so worship me.
That's basically Islam small I that applies to all prophets, and it's the same message, the same faith, but different Sharia, different set of laws, but it's the same faith. Okay. Islam capital I is the specific Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is praying 5 times a day, fasting Ramadan, paying charity, going for Hajj. This is the specific Islam capital I. It's a noun. It's a noun, and it is so. Both of them are the solution, but the most recent available pure solution is Islam capital I. Because the other Islam small I has the beliefs of the other Islam small I has gone, so we right now have this Islam capital I that we have. We're born innocent, and the job of Islam capital I is to maintain this innocence until we die. So we born innocent babies, and we pick up corruption from our environment. But if we Quran will help us maintain our innocence until the time we die. Why Islam is the solution? Because it provides for both parts. The earthly part is fed, and the taken care of to produce a physically strong, healthy Muslim. And at the same time, the divine part of the spiritual part is fed with divine guidance and love to grow up healthy. Both components are essential for happiness of the individual and humanity in this life and in the hereafter. Okay, the Islam takes care of the physical container that we have, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that this body is part of our custodianship, that we are being trusted with our body to keep our body healthy and clean, and feed the body, care for the body. So get haircut, wear perfume. All of these things are given to us. We are ordered to do it so that we take care of the body. And the Prophet ﷺ said also that your body has rights on you. Let me tell you a story behind that. There was when our Prophet Muhammad arrived to Medina, he made every local people of Medina a brother for the immigrant from Mecca. So Salman al-Farisi from Mecca became the spiritual brother of Abu Darda. So he was walking by Salman, he saw the wife of Abu Darda. She was like not taking care of herself at all. She's not combing her hair, she's just wearing dirty clothes, she doesn't care. And so he asked her, what's wrong? She said that your brother, Abu Darda, he, during the day he's fasting, during the night he's praying, and he has no need for women, so why should I care? So then Salman went and spent the night spent some time with Abu Darda. So when Abu Darda woke up to pray early, he say no, sleep, and he like forced him, sort of pressured him to sleep. And then near the 1/3 of the night, he told him, now you can get up, so sleep 2/3 and pray 1/3. And then when he wanted to fast the next day, he said, no, you break your fast. And he insisted that he broke his fast. So Abu Darda said, Allah, I'll go to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what you did to me. You prevented me from night prayers and fasting. So they went to Prophet Muhammad. So Prophet Muhammad told him the story. So Prophet Muhammad said, your body has your rights on you. Your Lord has rights on you. Your spouse have rights on you. Give everything its due care. Cleanness is part of your faith. Give everybody the care that it needs. Allah commanded us not to preserve the health of the body by not to eat or drink things that will harm the body. Because if we break the container, the contents will spill out, which is the soul. Keeping the container healthy is good shape, and good shape is important for us. Excessiveness will harm the spirit. So there were people that came to ask about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam worship. So they were told about it. So they said, they thought, well, if the Prophet is doing that much, then we are less than the Prophet. If we wanted to be accepted by Allah, we should do more. So one of them said, I'm going to pray all night, never sleep. The second one said, I'll fast all life, never break my fast. And the third one, he said, I'll never marry women, to be dedicated to Allah. Okay. So the Prophet Muhammad got angry when he heard that. He got upset and then he gave a speech. He said, I am the closest among you to Allah. And I sleep and pray. Okay. Sleep a portion of the night and pray a portion of the night, one third of the night. And I fast and break my fast. I don't fast all the time. And I marry women. So the ones who seek other ways are not from me. So keep the happy equilibrium, which is the median between two extremes. If you clash with the needs of your body, like monks who seclude themselves in caves and don't take care of themselves, then you are harming yourself. Okay. Allah give us the balance of brain, the gift that Allah gave us to think, decide, and choose for ourselves. Guided by the light of Islam, we can achieve the guide and the righteousness. Also, spending, equilibrium in spending. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the ones who spend.
And those who, when they spend, are neither extravagant nor miserly, and it, for example, their spending is moderate in between the two extremes.
See, spending, equilibrium. So the final conclusion is that be balanced in ourselves, be balanced in our families. Be balanced with our communities. Be balanced. Spread balance. Breach balance. Never try to confront your physical needs because physical needs will compel you to take care of them. Otherwise, you're ruining your own body. And any questions, guys, about the topic?